Hello and welcome to The Urbanist, Monocle 24's programme all about the built environment and how to make our cities better places to live in. I'm your host, Andrew Tuck. Coming up.
In Graz, we had for a really long time only men, of course, leading us in Graz. And that's a nice change for everyone, I think, to keep a feminist agenda in mind.
Graz is Austria's second biggest city, and with a population of some 300,000 people, is also the largest city in the European Union to be run by a communist. Elke Kahr from the Communist Party of Austria was elected mayor of Graz in the autumn of 2021, and she chose Green Party politician Judith Schrentner to be her number two. Together, they had a vision of a new and better city that would be fair to all. But they soon discovered that the chaos created by their predecessors was putting a spoke in their wheel. So can red and green Graz deliver the welfare services, social housing, climate protection that the pair have promised? In this special edition of The Urbanist, we hand over to Monocle's Alexei Korolev, who travels to Graz to find out more. Over to you, Alexei.
Graz is picture postcard Austria. It's got beautiful Baroque houses that are protected by UNESCO, winding cobbled streets that run down to the River Mur, and up on a hill, a storybook clock tower. This is hardly a natural breeding ground for communism. Yet it was here, 40 years ago, that an idealistic young student called Elke Kahr decided to become a communist.
I don't know exactly when the first contact was. 1980, I think.
What did your parents say when you became a member?
They enjoy, because my father is no problem. Das ist ja das, was das Schöne war an meinen Eltern.
Elke Kahr was lucky to have such understanding parents. In 1983, when she joined the Austrian Communist Party, or KPÖ, the Cold War was still going strong. Ronald Reagan had just called the Soviet Union an evil empire.
Yes, let us pray for the salvation of all of those who live in that totalitarian darkness. Let us be aware that while they preach the supremacy of the state, declare its omnipotence over individual man, and predict its eventual domination of all peoples on the earth, they are the focus of evil in the modern world.
Austria was officially neutral in the Cold War, but it was crawling with Soviet spies and infiltrators. And that made the KPÖ suspect as well.
It was not easy in this time. Ernest Kaltenegger, my comrade, the make our party growing up, said that when we have an information point in the streets, the people said not good things to us. And some, they like us, and die haben sich nicht getraut, mit uns zu reden in der Öffentlichkeit, aus Angst. Sie könnten ihre Arbeit verlieren, gesehen werden. Das war auch stark. Also damals, das wäre nicht so einfach gewesen.
In the 80s, people thought that they would lose their job if they spoke to communists.
Yes. Oder hätten keine Vorrückung bekommen. Also die hätten das nicht so direkt gemacht.
As if to confirm these fears, in 1989, Elke Kahr went on a study trip to Moscow. I was born in Moscow the year before, and in an incredible coincidence, it turns out that she lived just a couple of streets away from where I grew up.
It's the metro station Aeroport, yeah?
That's where I live.
Really?
I live in Planetnaya, Ulica.
Das kann ich mich noch erinnern, weil die Namen ja so super sind.
The Red Menace is now gone, but communism, and by extension the KPÖ, still carries the stigma.
Graz is special because of this, because we know Elke Kahr and the Communist Party since years, and they were here always for people. But when I told to my family that I vote the Communist Party, they were asking me if I'm insane.
Majda Krivograd is vice president of a Graz cultural association called Girls.
They couldn't understand because of the name, yes. And also, I have also friends in Slovenia, and they were also saying, but you are crazy. I mean, how you can vote somebody who has the name Communistic Party? And in Yugoslavia, ex-Yugoslavia, people who live there, I mean, for them, this is really a bit shocking, you know. The thing is that it was standing always for Stalin, you know. and is still standing for Stalin, but Stalin was a dictator, actually, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There was nothing in common with communism.
Mm.
It was only the name that he used. And that's why this connotation of the word communism is so still so bad, you know. I think, really, this is really special Graz.
Graz is special. The KPR has always done well here. But in 2021, even its supporters were surprised.
For me, I was a communist before, so first time I voted for them and they won.
Lili Jagl is also part of Graz. I meet her at the studios of the somewhat confusingly named Radio Helsinki, where she runs the cultural desk. It's a left-leaning community station, and most of the people working here voted for the KPR.
I voted for them before, but yeah, this was the first time they actually won. But I know mostly maybe older people or people who think like, okay, what do I know about communism? Okay, it turned out bad. Was maybe a good idea, but it turned out bad. And so they think, okay, you have to be crazy to vote for them because look at our history. But to see like, oh, okay, let's look how much capitalism brought us, yeah? Or like the government before, they tried to make things harder for some people. So let's try out the Communist Party, why not?
Much of the KPR's success in 2021 and before is down to Elke Kahr. She's been a presence in Graz for years, and for organizations like Girls, she's an inspiration and a beacon. Lili Jagl again.
We are a feminist, mostly music association, and we are hosting concerts, we are doing DJ gigs and DJ workshops, we are busy trying to get more people involved, and for that to have a female mayor, and also with Judith Schwendner, her second in command, or I don't know. It's just a really strong message. Just they are two women, I think that's enough, because in Graz we had for a really long time only men, of course, leading us in Graz, and that's a nice change for everyone, I think. To keep a feminist agenda in mind, yeah.
I have a very conceptual question. So, as you know, the Russian Communist Party, the whatever you call it, the Bolsheviks, Soviet Communist Party, whatever, at the very beginning, after the revolution, they made an unofficial alliance with culture. They used culture to promote their ideas.
Mm-hmm.
If you felt that in order for people like Elke Kahr to remain in power and to change things,
mm-hmm.
she needed your cultural help.
Mm-hmm.
Would you be willing to give her this help?
In the case of Grills Kulturverein, we talked about it and we said that we won't support any political party. We just don't. We don't want our association to be not misused, but no, we want to stay out of the politics. But personally, of course, I don't think is it such a big difference if you're like, for example, some businessman who says, I give my vote to Elke, or if there's like a punk band who says, yeah, go, go, Elke. I actually heard a hip-hop song called Elke Kahr, which was really funny, from a Graz-based hip-hop duo. And they wrote a really nice press release which said, yes, and we even made a song about the first communist mayor in Graz, and the title is Elke Kahr, and they are singing like, everything was horrible, but now everything is great. Elke Kahr. Ayo, ayo, Palmensekt und Sonnenschein. So muss Kommunismus sein.
Ich dachte, dass es bleibt, wie es war. The band is called Philippe and DBDNB. And another line goes, palm trees, sparkling wine and sunshine, that's what communism should be.
Ich dachte, dass es bleibt, wie es war. Schwarz-blau das ganze Jahr. Ich dachte, dass es bleibt, so wie es war. Doch dann kam Elke Kahr.
I first met Elke Kahr a year ago. She was all smiles and still couldn't believe she'd become mayor.
Der fast unglaublich ist. Aber dieses große Vertrauen, das die Bevölkerung in unserer Stadt uns gibt, I was very surprised.
Since then, there's been another, much less pleasant, surprise. It turned out that Graz was deeply in debt, the result of years of overspending by the previous city government of the Conservative People's Party.
I think one of the problems of the oldest administration was that they really put all their hopes and efforts into spectacular huge mega projects, many of them far too expensive.
But that's, of course, you know, this is how you get people to like you.
yes, that's true. That's why they did it. They thought they can create a hysteria, positive hysteria. But in the end, it didn't work because people are far more realistic than some politicians think.
Georg Fuchs is one of Edgar Karl's closest aides. He tells me how it's come to this.
Okay, in 2003, Graz held the title of Cultural Capital of Europe, and a lot of infrastructure was built for that purpose. We built the Kunsthaus, the house for arts, and we got a lot of new places in the city, like the island in the river, the Moorinsel. It was a very expensive project, which was without doubt good for the city. It put it on the map of tourism in many places where Graz was unknown before. But we spent a lot of money for this year, and we still dragging the debts with us.
Why, maybe that's a question for the previous administration, why did this situation last for 20 years?
Because all kinds of tricks were used, legal tricks, to hide debts, to move things that belong to the city, like buildings from one company to the other and back. And it's very difficult to understand. Some of these things aren't legally possible anymore because laws were changed on a federal level.
Do you think that this has affected the popularity of the party in Graz?
No, not at all, because I think everyone in Graz always knew that the city was spending too much money, and no one blames the new government for a problem that dates back many, many years. And we have in fact reduced the debts, but we still have to pay them back. And, and some of them are due in the next years. To do that, we will have to spend less money than we're doing now without hurting education, health, and all the important things that the city has to do.
One of the areas facing cutbacks is culture, and the city's creatives are understandably worried.
Hello, my name is Sebastian Höglinger. Together with Peter Schernhuber, I'm co-director of Diagonale Festival of Austrian Film. It's our eighth year now together in this position, but we worked at the festival another 7 years before that, so it's a long, long time at the Festival of Austrian Film and in the inner circle of festival work. And yeah, now here we are. Mm-hmm.
The festival started life in 1998 and has since become a Graz institution. Sebastian Höglinger.
Graz is a place, a very young city, a student city, with a functioning inner city. So you have good bars, you have good food, you have this kind of Mediterranean climate. So that's what brings people to the festival, as well as the Austrian films in our case. And it's very open-minded as well. We have a big cultural scene where people work together, also gallery-wise and stuff. So there are a lot of collaborations possible. And I think we really work to strengthen the feeling that the Diagonale belongs to Graz. Because you have to know about 80% of the film industry in Austria live and works from Vienna. So it's not obvious that the Festival of Austrian Film takes place in Graz, and I think it's really a special place.
Hmm. But are you yourself from Graz?
No. We are both from Upper Austria. I grew up in Linz, Peter in Wels, so we know that it's important to bring culture also to places offside the capital. Yes.
This year's edition will take place next month and will be the pair's last as organisers. Peter Schenhuber says it won't be easy for their successors.
So we have about 50 persons of private sponsors and private public partnerships funding the Diagonale. But besides that, the other 50 persons are by governmental institutions like the local fundings and also national fundings. And at the moment we are confronted with kind of a reality check, because the city government is about to not be that optimistic about the future in the field of culture. So of course we have several international global crises around, But it doesn't seem that KPÖ is very into cultural politics and into supporting the local scene. And that's really a problem and maybe also a first disappointment. Mm.
Of course, it's early days and it's too early to tell. But would you consider, I mean, you were talking about Graz and how important it is to have this permanent attachment of Diagonale to Graz. But if things go really badly in terms of finance, in terms of mutual understanding with the city government, would you consider relocating to another city?
Honestly not, because the story of the Diagonale and its success is linked to Graz. The situation is not that bad. We can discuss everything and we are in dialogue and so on, but maybe there was too much euphoria about the new government, and maybe we are confronted with a reality check now, and we have to rethink our own cliches and stereotypes. And sometimes you get the impression that the cultural scene is hooked in their Che Guevara teenage days. I'm not sure.
And you always have to say it's not the person LKK. I mean, LKK always visited a lot of these events, also Diagonale, and we are in
Sebastian Höglinger.
As Peter pointed out, we are in discussions and there is the possibility to talk. That's not the problem, but it's the whole, it's the focus government is deciding and culture is not on the top.
So if it isn't culture, then what is important for Graz? After all, and perhaps I should have mentioned this earlier, LKK is not going it alone. She has a coalition with the Green Party and the Social Democrats. Back at City Hall, I meet Vice Mayor Judith Schwentner. She's a Green and has served as a member of Austria's Parliament.
So I have a lot of work because I'm responsible for everything concerning climate and climate change, of course. Then the building department, everything that's concerning city planning and traffic planning. My responsibility is quite huge, I would say.
Curiously, she's also lived in Moscow, though not in Soviet times like LKK, but in the early 1990s.
So I'm not a communist, but I think I know the Communist Party quite well. And I knew what it means to be in a coalition with the Communist Party. So I have no romantic picture about that. So quite pragmatic access. But I think, especially for Graz, it was a chance and it is still a chance. A chance for change. The voters wanted a change, so they got a real change concerning the coalition. The access for this or the way for this was prepared by the former mayor. So everything what he did, how do I say, created the need for change.
So this is your polite way of saying that the previous administration made a mess?
No, not a mess. Not a mess. I have a big respect that a person is mayor for around 20 years, because this is a lot of responsibility. A lot of things succeeded well because we live in peace. We have green, but not enough. I think they didn't get this point when the city grew quite fast. I think these little things which make the clue for our society weren't in the focus of this politics.
So, in your fields, what is the biggest, what's the most pressing problem for Graz right now?
And it's the same problem as everywhere, it's climate change. So how we can guarantee a good life for the future when we know that in the next few years cities become hotter and hotter. One key is traffic. It's also a question how equal we divide the public space in a new manner to get space for chairs and for people, elder people, for children, and for bikes, of course, and for the public transport, which is the biggest challenge because it's a very expensive one. Mm. But we made a lot of real decisions concerning tramway lines for the city. We planted 800 trees and we promised to plant one tree a day.
So you exceeded yourselves. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like in the Soviet Union before now. It's a joke. Let's Stachanova. No, no, yeah, but I'm proud because we succeeded to plant trees, and it's really, really important to have more trees in cities. So we made some really beautiful projects last year.
Okay, and maybe one final question.
Yes.
Well, I was just talking to, maybe you know this, women's Verein called Girls, and they say that you are in many ways a role model, mm-hmm. you and Elkika. How do you feel about that? Do you want to be a role model, actually?
Yes, we need role models everywhere, because until we don't have equality in our society, we need it. So for me, I feel it quite every day that it makes a difference. All my the fields I'm responsible for are dominated by men. So I think it's really important to have a mayor, a female mayor. We still have more Josefs as mayors in Austria than women, so called the surname Josef. So we need these role models, and me too, I need role models to be empowered and to feel empowered by somebody else. And we need these women networks. They do not function good enough yet, because we are all socialized in this society and we are all living in these behaviors we learn from childhood on, and so on. So I think it's really important. Yeah. I think it's not a thing to get orden,
a medal
and to walk away with the medal and say, okay, I'm a mayor woman, I'm a vice mayor woman, and that's all. That's just one puzzle to get more equality in our society. And it's important puzzle piece.
So where does it all leave us? And is it fair to judge a city government on the evidence of just 1 year's performance? I put this question to Elke Kahn. What does she think she has achieved?
Das Schöne ist eigentlich, dass wir nach über einem Jahr sagen können, dass wir viel, viel gelernt haben in dem Jahr wieder, weil du lernst immer wieder dazu, dass so viele kluge und
She has learned a lot, she says, and helped hundreds, perhaps thousands of people, often by dealing with their problems directly. Just before this interview, for example, she sorted out somebody's electricity bill by calling the energy company. She does this sort of thing every day, and that's why people love her. But even among her supporters, there's a growing sense that if she and her government want to deliver real and lasting change, she needs to think and act bigger, and maybe invest some money in culture. A last word to Lili Jagl and Maida Krivograd.
So, for us, I think nothing really has changed. Graz is a beautiful city, and come by and visit, but in the subculture, we don't have many venues we can do our stuff. Everyone has problems getting proper funding, like I think in every place where people in the cultural field are working. But I think it's an illusion to think, yes, we have a communist mayor and everything changed now for the better. At least I don't think that is the case.
I think that the Communist Party, they had another agenda, like Lily said. But I think because now it's a bit more than 1 year that they are on the head in Graz, I think that they're willing to change something, but they only don't know yet. And that's now on us to show them, okay, take a look also on this side, because culture is very important for society and also for people who are working for the cultural field.
And maybe one big thing that changed, they are willing to talk to us.
Because the previous administration didn't.
No, they didn't care. And now I think they are trying to change something for the better.
But this is changing. This is changing. So let's see.
Let me end this program where it began, in the main market square, just outside Graz City Hall. It's true. On the surface, nothing has changed. It's still the same square it's been for hundreds of years. But then, that's not the point. Even if this new government, these two women, achieve nothing of what they promised, they've already left their mark. First of all, they are doing something and they have big plans for the future. But most importantly, they're open to dialogue. They want to communicate with their citizens. And that can only be a good thing for Graz. For Monocle in Graz, I'm Alexei Korolev.
That's all for this week's episode of The Urbanist. If you're not already subscribed, make sure you do so using your preferred podcast provider to get a new episode directly to you every week. And while you're at it, why not subscribe to Monocle magazine for regular reports on all things urbanism too? And you can do that at monocle.com. Today's show was guest produced by Alexei Korolev. The Urbanist producers are Carlotta Ribello and David Stevens. And to play you out this week, well, here's one of the most famous songs to come from Graz. It's Opus with Live is Life. Thank you for listening, City Lovers.